Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show. Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.
Okay. Here, this whole time I was kind of talking to myself, and because my mic wasn't working, nobody knew because nobody was here listening to me. Okay, those perspectives are in line with what some of the nation's largest parts distributors are seeing too. Fleet Pride, which has both physical locations as for parts and services and a growing online presence for parts, has seen exponential growth in online parts sales, according to Darren Taylor, Senior Vice President of Digital Marketing. Prior to COVID, we were already working on a digital transformation, Taylor said, looking online to be, looking online to be able to order and get it shipped increased a lot during the pandemic. We saw a significant increase in our website usage and digital tools around it, as well as shipping. It exceeded our expectations and goals. Demanding for online parts sourcing has grown as much as that Fleet Pride announced in January that it now offers more than 1 million parts on its e-commerce site. Our customers told us that they need more availability of products and more delivery options to keep their trucks on the road, Taylor said. They expect to find the right product fast and easily order it with confidence. And we listened to them. Sales from fleetpride.com grew more than 400% in 2022, Taylor added. Okay, David Sewick, CEO of the online parts distributor Find It Parts, said his company has also seen an exponential growth in recent years, which accelerated during the pandemic. We're growing at greater than 100% annually, he said, with 2023 projections of between 100% and 300% growth. Customers that were home during COVID started buying things online they never thought they could buy online. They started trusting more suppliers. What COVID did was normalized online purchases and took the mystique out of it. The beauty of a growing online parts sales, according to both Taylor and Sewick, is that more than likely the part that's needed is out there somewhere. It's just a matter of locating it and getting it shipped to wherever it needs to be. And we've all seen this. You can go on there and find just about anything, okay? It may take you a couple of days to get it, so if you need it right now, not going to happen. Many owner-operator businesses is built on personal relationships, and breaking away from trusted dealers or independent shops in your area is sometimes the last resort. Okay, I'm looking at the graph here. It says where owner-operators note most of their general maintenance gets done. Okay, 2% it says that carrier maintenance facility, 50% says they do it themselves, 2%, it says other. Truck dealership gets 8%. Independent garage gets 29%. Truck stop shop gets 7%. And truck lube specialist gets 2%. Okay. Seawick acknowledged as much himself, encouraging owner-operators to continue using their local businesses when possible. But when they don't have the part you need and you can't get it for weeks, that's where he wants his business to come into play. For Fleet Pride, which is an addition to its 1 million plus parts online, has more than 300 physical locations across 46 states, and the company can lean on its own network of locations from local to regional to national, nationwide to help owners find their parts, Taylor noted. And we go on to how owner-operators have adapted. Fleets all across the country, regardless of size, have dealt with parts procurement issues, finding varying degrees of sources or successes managing parts shortage in different ways. Early on the pandemic, Mike Schwarmbach, owner of 30 trucks and 150 trailer Shompton Entertainment hauling fleet, based in Denver, stocked up on parts that the fleet typically needed for preventive and light mechanical maintenance. Most of the fleet's trucks are under warranty at any given time, but when Schwarmbach saw shortages coming down the pike early, he ordered quadruple items, he said. When we caught on to the couple of the items that were getting to be hard to come by, we immediately got orders. There certainly was a case of tires, which he said he's still having a hard time sourcing at times. Step deck tires, Michelins are hard to find. Any non-traditional sizes like the 255, 225s, or the 17.5s are more difficult, he said. He's keeping upward of 70 tires on hand to make sure his 30 trucks and 150 trailers can keep moving in a niche that quite literally abides by the common motto, the show must go on. In addition to tires, Schwarmbach also made sure to stock up on filters. You could get them, but you couldn't get the brand you wanted, and you would wind up with a cheaper brand, he said. We adapted pretty quickly to that. Okay, parts categories owners had difficulty sourcing in the last few years. Oil and various filters, 41%, tires, 43%, brakes and associated hoses and air systems, 22%, suspension, 14%, engine-related components, 57%, driveline transmission and components, 17%. Emission system, 28%, ECM electronic system, 29%, lights, 9%, truck and trailer frame, tanks and body, 12%, other, 5%, and some people just say none, 11%. Okay, Schwarmbach said the difficulty sourcing filters was pretty much cleared up at the point for Shompton, but tires are still a pain point. Everything else seems to be fairly available. We're not seeing anything that put us down for weeks. Schwarmbach still primarily relies on traditional suppliers for sourcing parts, but he does use online part trailer retailers to price check at times. Most suppliers locally give you somewhat of a discount to have an account set up, he said. We've stayed true to those. We've seen a lot of our suppliers get through by Fleet Pride and other get bought by Fleet Pride and other companies. But for the most part, we prefer to have two or three suppliers at the most. Similar Bridgman, Michigan-based Gary Waskin with J.L. Wasco and Sons uses 5 to 6 distributors in his region to source parts. I always go back to the dealer for certain things, he says. The fleet of about a dozen trucks is mostly Freightliners, and there are 3 Freightliner dealers relatively close to Wasco in South Bend and Gary, Indiana, and Mattawa in Michigan. Between those 3 dealers, even if one of his trucks is down, he can usually find the part he needs and take it to them and get it repaired. And if he can't find the part he needs, particularly for older trucks without as much electronics on board, he'll make the part himself. All in all, a lot of stuff, if I can't get it, we'll make it, he said, cutting and welding with pieces of steel. He noted that the engine parts and electronics, in a sense, he's at a mercy of the dealers. Like Schornbacher, Wasco also started stocking certain parts that he found were hard to find, including brake rotors for the drop deck trailer he has. I had the hardest time finding rotors, which was impossible. We did get them, but they came from Canada. Now I stock a pair of those rotors because nobody else does. He added that he keeps stock of a lot of parts because we fix on Saturday, so the trucks runs on Monday. So, there you go. Stock up, be prepared. You never know what happens. Okay. Oh. Sorry, my eyes were itching. I had to do that. Okay. Okay, here's one. Going on about the same thing with the parts and hard to find. Here's a non-traditional truck parts sourcing strategies on a rise. Okay. 3 years after COVID onset and subsequent to a truck parts shortage, the owner-operators navigate rocky procedures. This goes on. This is another part of this. Okay. All the tractors in Rob Hellman's small fleet today are 2022 models, a year or newer, so he's generally not in the parts buying business outside the general maintenance items. Over the years, though, when his trucks have gone down, he occasionally found unique ways to source hard-to-find parts. Okay, most of the owner-operators are small fleet owners who responded to Overdrive's recent parts and procurement survey earmarked some kind of shift in strategy to adapt to the myriad parts availability challenges these last few years. Okay, their chart here says use new physical vendors, 39%. Increasingly ordered parts online, 45%. And another one says 16% for other. As shown in the chart, plenty owner-operators are in that other column where you find some quite crafty non-traditional moves to find the part and keep the rig running. LaCrosse, Wisconsin-based Rob Hallen, whose Hallen Transport 7-truck fleet hauls a mix of vans and reefer freight, told the story of a DEF quality sensor failure that put one of his trucks down in the middle of a pandemic. His driver was down for about 5 weeks, and the dealer was telling him that the part was on a 26-week back order. Wow. Helena knew a guy who knew a guy who's done some deleting of emissions equipment. Helena was able to buy several old DEF tanks, DEF quality sensors intact. As he put it, we had three of them on hand when everybody else was trying to find. The necessary sensor, somewhat notorious for failing, we had a second one go out, and we just pulled it and put a new one in. Sometimes the fix for that kind of an issue can be even simpler, though. One of Helena's trucks needed a crankcase ventilation sensor, which doesn't put the truck down but does continuously throw codes. The dealership said it was on back order and could be 6 to 9 months to get one. And everybody we checked with, 27 to 30 people, were waiting for one, he said. Taking a shot in the dark, Helena simply took the part apart, cleaned all the connections and put it back together. And there was nothing wrong with it. It's actually just a bad connection. Instead of paying $2,500 for a new sensor, he spent about $50 to clean the connection. Mount Zion, Illinois-based Ryan Eggers, owner of R.H. Eggers Transportation and leased to Long Run Express out of St. Louis, also had to take unique approach to rebuilding an engine for the 2000 Peterbilt 379 that he just recently sold. After going to Cummins for a replacement engine for an N14 he had in the truck, Eggers wasn't pleased with the wait time or the cost. So he set out on his own to rebuild it. They wanted like 3 times as much for everything to go through Cummins, he said. A part he needed for the rocker assembly, he said, was looking like it would be $275 a piece, for instance, instead number, and found them for $45 a piece online. What you got to do? A $40,000 crate engine from Cummins ended up costing me $25,000, he said. You don't get the warranties, but when you're a small guy like me, that's a big chunk of money to save. That's part of your fuel bill, he says. Luckily for Eggers, he had a backup truck, a 1995 Freightliner FLD-112 that he's running today. While running the truck, he asked the dealership to basically write up a quote for what I needed to rebuild the engine in the Peterbilt. And when I did that, they added every single part number to the quote sheet. So I took that and highlighted the part numbers and started making phone calls. I got on the internet, plugging in the part number. Google is your friend, he says. I just started Googling part numbers, and I just started shopping. He used a number of vendors, both online and brick and mortar, to secure all the parts he needed to have the engine rebuilt over the course of a few months. Instead of it being a 2 to 3 week process to do this engine, it was months because I had to find all these parts, and only because I wasn't willing to pay 3 times as much for some of the parts. The shop wasn't happy with me, but it wasn't their truck. Eggers said Long Run, where he's leased, has accounts with a number of vendors. So he tried to do business with those where possible to save money. Whoops. He also learned along the way that he doesn't mind buying aftermarket parts instead of OEM parts, to save a little money. A lot of the aftermarket companies are making OEM parts. He said he went through PAI Industries for a lot of the internal engine parts for the rebuild and had no issues over the year. Plus, he drove the truck after the rebuild. When I talked to the people, they got all the specs, like list of everything from the manufacturers, and that's what they build their parts to, he said. I had no problems with the power or anything messing up. The best advice Eggers offered other owner-operators struggling to get these parts is to get the part number and sit down and start searching. It takes a little longer, but it's all part of being a business owner. When my dad had to rebuild his motor, it was, you know, during the pandemic, it took him a little bit longer to get some of the stuff he needed. And he bought aftermarket from a place out of Michigan. And when you looked at some of the parts, you know, even though he has a Detroit, it states on it that, you know, where they were made. But even parts that Greg got for his, we bought straight from Detroit. So it'd be Detroit parts made in China. So nothing's made here anymore. I don't care what anybody says. Okay. So that is some of the things that they were talking about, what they tried doing to get past all of the hang-ups with getting parts during the pandemic. And some things are still getting harder to find. It's hard to find because so many people bought so much of the stuff back when everything was down that there's not a lot out there. But, you know, like they say, the best thing to do is Google a lot of the stuff. Like I said, we have bought a lot of stuff online because, for one, you can get it cheaper. Yes, you might not get it right now, but if you know you're going to need, you know, oil filters to change your oil or, you know, fuel filters and stuff like that, general stuff that you can keep on hand because you know you're going to need it, the best thing to do is, yes, order it online because you do get a little bit of a discount, you know, but if you start looking at the price of that part and then you consider what it cost you at the, you know, your local dealership to get it, if it's cheaper without the shipping, if you don't get free shipping, that is, and you need to, you know, you have to do your due diligence and start checking the numbers and see what the best route is for you. If it is just easier for you to go and get it, you know, at the local dealership or take the take your truck and trailer to, you know, Speedco or the dealership to have the oil changed, then hey, go ahead and do that, because some people it could be cheaper because they don't have the ask or the location to actually take and, you know, change their oil at. You know, some of you guys, you know, if you're owner operators, more than likely you have a place to have your truck to do that type of work on. And if you don't, then you may have a shop that you can go to. But even if you take it and go to a shop, and you take all your oil and you take your additives that you want to add to it and your filters and everything else, they are going to give you a little bit of a discount for, you know, bringing all your own stuff. You know, most places will, I would hope. I know our little garage here that we take all of our cars to, if we take everything down to them and say, here's everything we need you to, you know, change your oil, all he charges us for is just the labor of changing the oil, because we usually take the oil and the filters. Okay, for all of you that, you know, I can't even say all of you, the Port Trucker score win in the chassis choice lawsuit. Okay, this was published yesterday, actually. Yeah, the 7th. Okay, trucking scores win in intermobile chassis choice case. The Federal Maritime Commission, the FMC, administrative law judge ruled Monday that ocean carriers could not lawfully require the motor carriers use specific intermobile chassis providers to move containers. The American Trucking Association Intermobile Motor Carriers Conference, August of 2020, filed a complaint against the Ocean Carrier Equipment Management Association. Coincided chassis management and the world's largest ocean carrier alleging they violated the Shipping Act by requiring carriers to use specific default chassis providers and denying motor carriers the right to select the chassis provider. The IMCC Executive Director Jonathan Eisen said ocean carriers practices of prohibiting motor carriers from using the provider of their choice when they are paying for the chassis has held U.S. motor carrier safety shortage hostage and forced them to subsidize the shipping lines. The victory has been a long time coming, said IMCC Executive Director Jonathan Eisen, who called the decision the first step in putting a stop to the practice of foreign-owned shipping lines forcing American drivers and motor carriers to use specific equipment providers to move goods, which will help reduce supply chain delays and cut costs for carriers and consumers. They are pleased with the judge agreed. We look forward to ending these unreasonable and unjust practices permanently. The IMCC claimed that the unjust and unresponsible conduct resulted in trucking companies and their customers for intermobile chassis at ports being overcharged by as much as $1.8, ready for it, billion over the 3 years prior to the complainant's filing. According to the release statement from IMC Companies, among the largest marine dredge firms in America, these chassis provisions restrictions have brought our country to its knees and hurt our economy. If we could do one thing to enhance supply chains, this favorable ruling for the freedom for motor carriers to choose their chassis on merchant haulage moves, and we pay for is the greatest victory. The IMC added that the court victory is also for one for the motor carriers across the nation, as well as the shippers we serve, and for this country that deserves choice. Ocean carriers named in the lawsuit include Consolidated Chassis Management, Costco Shipping Lines, Evergreen Line Joint Service Agreement, the FMC number 911982, Hoppage Lloyd Ag, HMM Companies, and it goes on and on and on. We have Shipping Company SA, Ocean Network Express, Van High Lines, Yang Ming Marine Transport Corp, and Zim Integrated Shipping Services. Okay. There you go. They won the lawsuit. Great for them. Now, here we go. It's starting already with all these, you know, let's see, battery electric trucks. You ready? Mack and Volvo recalling some electric trucks over fire concerns. Certain Mack trucks and Volvo models are being recalled over concerns that the truck's cabin heater relay may fail, causing the coolant heater to overheat, increasing the risk of fire. Mack is recalling 43 model year 2019 through 2023 LRBE battery electric trucks, while Volvo is recalling 136 of the VNR electric battery electric trucks for the same model years. Dealers will update the software for the hybrid powertrain control unit and instrument cluster and install replacement relays free of charge. Owner notification letters are expected to be mailed March 19th. Volvo trucks numbers for the recall are RVXX2301, and max number for the recall is SC0440. Okay, let me see. All right. Next thing, whoops. Get back up to the top here and get back to the other story I wanted to talk to you guys about. Oh, that's not it. Okay. Okay, the story was originally done back in 2011, but it was updated here just yesterday. Okay, tire wear patterns telling an overall truck maintenance. All right, while the wheel hasn't changed much in millions of years, truck and trailer tires can provide a mountain of data to a technician who knows how to interpret it, and you don't even have to plug it in. Connect or log on to get the information. With more than 100 years of accumulated maintenance experience and hard science as a guide, a good technician examining a tire can discern a wide array of problems quickly, such as questionable driver behavior, alignment issues, worn components, and improperly specced tires. Just like walking on an injured foot or a leg for an extended period can cause irregular wear on a shoe, the same thing, too, can happen to tires, whether it's a toe problem or a camber problem, or if it is a drive axle misalignment problem, it's going to show up in your tires. Tires represent a significant investment for fleets. Like we were talking about in the other article, there was some companies that was buying, you know, truckloads of tires because they were having trouble finding some of the ones that they usually bought. It's usually a motor carrier's third highest expense behind salary and fuel. And when it comes to tire wear, drivers are a fleet's first line of defense, according to Michelin. All drivers should include a comprehensive tire examination in pre- and post-trip inspections. During those inspections, they need to get up close and personal, rubbing their hands on the tires to check for any feathering, cupping, or diagonal wear. Tire represents a significant investment. Oh, sorry. Same one I just read. Let me get down a little bit further. There also might be a more personal reason for drivers to monitor tire wear, because tires can expose bad driving habits and their own poor tire care. Tires easily can indicate driver practices such as high power or jackrabbit starts or lack of regular inflation. If you have specced a tire improperly, you will quickly see an increased wear rate, says Continental. If a fleet has selected a tire that isn't right for the application, such as a regional tire optimized against cutting and chips that is being used in the slow-wearing application, trainline wear would be evident. Tires are getting more specialized all the time. According to Goodyear, we now have tires that are best suited for high scrub applications. A great example would be a school bus that are constantly turning left and right with lots of starts and stops. The tires go through a lot of scrubbing and all those tight turns. Goodyear designs high scrub tires with a tread compound that wears as well as it can in that situation, Goodyear says. It's going to resist the scrubbing. If you didn't have that tire on, you're probably going to burn your tires off pretty quickly because you have the wrong tire for the application. Tires, like vehicles, have become very application-specific in recent years. According to DoubleCoin, different patterns, sizes, designs, components of a tire offer the vehicle the best productivity and efficiency in specific applications. If mismatched, many times the tire and sometimes the vehicle will show the results. No matter how thorough a fleet's inspections process, it's not enough if drivers don't act quickly to avert catastrophic tire damage when sometimes unforeseen happens. If a truck has an air pressure monitoring system that warns of slow or a sudden air pressure loss, the driver should pull over as soon as possible to prevent further tire damage, as well as potential damage to the truck or nearby cars. If no PSI monitoring system is available, it is difficult for a driver to do anything unless a noise, vibration, or altered performance is felt in the cab. The bottom line, not taking the time to examine tires or ignoring the problems the tires are identifying not only increases tire wear and replacement costs, but also allows vehicle issues to get out of hand and become a safety issue. Okay. They're going to explain some of these things on your tires that you may see. Diagonal wear typically shows up as localized flat spots that cross the tread of a tire in a diagonal pattern. Diagonal wear generally is inflicted by mechanical forces from the drivetrain affecting the tire. Because they repeat in the frequency that continually show up in the same locations on the tire. Some examples could be worn or improperly adjusted bearings, or differing overall tire diameters combined in a dual position. This could be a mismatch or improper inflation. Diagonal wear often is slow to develop and can be aggravated by alignment issues. Okay, thrust and scrub angle wear. Thrust angle issues occur when a truck's drive axles through improper alignment cause the truck to want to divert deviate from a straight path and drive axles are attempting to thrust the truck out of line. The driver constantly has to correct the with a steering wheel. Thrust angle tends to show itself when one steer tire is worn on its inside and the other is worn on the outside. This is different from toe wear. With thrust angle wear is independent to the side of the truck where the tire is located. Accelerated wear is found on the outside of one drive tire and on the inside of the opposite drive tire. Similar to thrust angle wear, dog tracking occurs when a tractor's rear axles are not aligned properly with the axles on the trailer it is pulling. The tractor is attempting to drive down the road in a straight line while the trailer behind is attempting to track off a few degrees to the right or left. In severe cases, dog tracking can be so bad a driver on a straight road can see more of one side of the trailer and his rear view mirrors than the other. Signs of dog tracking easily are confused with thrust angle wear. The best way to determine the correct problem is to evaluate the vehicle's driving characteristics. If the truck pulls constantly in one direction, the problem is in the mounting of the drive axles. If the vehicle wanders all over the road, the problem is most likely an alignment issue in the trailer axles. Tandems should be square when they're mounted properly on the vehicle. They should be perpendicular to the frame and parallel to each other. Scrub comes into play when one of the axles is not parallel to the other axle. So a tire on one side of the vehicle is rolling in a large diameter than the one on the other side, causing the vehicle to attempt to turn in circles, creating an extremely torturous condition for a tire in question. Scrub angle problems generally show up as diagonal wear across the tread of a tire. But diagnosed, the condition can be tricky as worn axle components also show up as diagonal wear. Okay, sidewall wear. Most sidewall wear is damage-related primarily from scrubbing a curb. Driver's practices are usually the key to avoiding this type of damage. Although in some applications where curbing is a given, such as a tight urban suburb surroundings, a fleet may want tires with features that can withstand additional curbing, such as a protective curb ribs. Excessive curbing can cause shock, a condition where the tire sidewall is subject to abnormally heavy loads, resulting in a crimpled core. It's like bending a coat hanger and then trying to restore it to its original state. The wire can't be straightened back out. Likewise, the tire's core stays pinched, accelerating abnormal wear and weakening of the tire's overall integrity. Feather wear. Feather wear is easy to detect, but a technician actually has to put his hands on the tire to rub them up and down to diagnose this problem correctly. Generally speaking, feather wear is an alignment issue, usually because of a bad toe condition. Toe-in occurs where two tires are turned in so their front edges are closer together than the rear edge. Toe out is an opposite condition. The wear pattern is similar to the way a bird's feathers overlap. When the technician rubs his hand over the tire, he will feel it's smooth in one condition or one direction and rough when he rubs his hands back against the grain creating by a toe condition. A good rule of thumb: smooth in means a toe-in condition, while smooth out means a toe-out condition. Feather wear also can be caused by side scrubbing or severe drive axle misalignment. Okay. camber is the outward or inward tilt of a tire. Tires should be straight up and down. If they are tilted in at the top, that is a negative camber. If they are tilted in at the bottom, that is a positive camber. Although a little positive camber is desired for a loaded vehicle, the tires have a tendency to go negative. Too much positive camber can lead to smooth wear, usually on the outside of one of the tires. Too much negative camber will lead to smooth wear, usually on the inside of one of the tires, and it can be severe enough that it will be found on both tires. In most cases, the symptoms are seen on one tire only. Cupping wear. Cupping results from an up and down motion affecting the tire and its contact with the road surface. A bad shock absorber, air spring, or suspension system usually is to blame, creating vibrations that cause the tire to bounce up and down as it travels down the road. This type of wear usually shows up on a steer and trailer tires and appears as a series of high and low spots around the tire's tread surface. Flat spotting. As the name of this condition indicates, flat spotting starts off as a single scrubbed band of tread running across the tire that is shallower than the tread area immediately surrounding it. This affected area clearly will be flatter than the tire surface surrounding it. In most cases, flat spotting is created by a brake issue. Most of the time, a foundation brake is locked up or dragged. Although a severe panic stop or a driver who has a habit of over-aggressively braking can create the problem. If a brake check fails to identify any maintenance issues, a safety refresher with the driver may be in order to moderate his brake habits. So, with that being said, it gives you guys all something to think about when it comes to, you know, your tire wear. Kind of gives you a help to kind of figure out what might be going on. But the best thing to always do, if you're not sure and you have no clue, go to a tire shop. They could tell you what's going on, or an alignment shop, and they'll be able to tell you too. So it is now officially 8 o'clock here on the East Coast. And honestly, I'm done for the night. So I figure, you know, I'm good. We're good. We're actually going to end the show here tonight and be done. So until next Wednesday, because we have, let's see, let me give you since I get my calendar here, give you a total. Okay, for the women of Redneck and I, we have 6 more shows. Okay, so basically we have just under 6 weeks of our radio show here being on. So with that being said, after those 6 weeks is up, we're done. So our show will actually officially close on the 27th of March. So you have to look for us on the website or on our Facebook page. So that's how it's going to be, at least for now. Okay, so this is Tiffany with Women of Redneck and Eyes, coming to you from East Liverpool, Ohio. And we're done for the night. Have a great night. Look forward to talking to you guys all next week. Stay safe out there. If you have any problems with anything, you know where to find us. All right, have a great night, guys.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.
Just always remember, when everything goes wrong and the job still got to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.